B-Pod Studios.
By the way, Hattie, I like
He's the calming voice of the Midday Show.
You're siding with PK.
Hey, shut up! I'm going to ask you a question, dumbass!
Hardy.
I've never seen him snap like that.
On Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I think this happened to Felger and Maz yesterday. T-Bone, if we're up, we're talking now. We're starting the show. The show has started. We cannot hear the radio station. Did you hear any of this on Felger and Maz the other day?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't.
It's dark.
Yeah. I didn't hear it. And you know, true to form, Felger handled it like a pro, as did Maz. Yeah. Apparently, they both flipped out. Did they flip out?
Well, they had to FaceTime Jay Stu, and that's how they got back in and out from breaks. That's how they knew they were back on the air.
Okay.
Yeah, so we might have to do that with T-Bone here.
FaceTime T-Bone.
There we go.
Sign me up. Yeah.
Same thing happened to me Saturday.
Really?
I was very rarely do I lead the show, but I was leading with Alex Barth, and it went silent coming into the break.
Awesome.
And I was like, they're going to play the bump back music, I asked them, right? Any second now. And I waited an extra second, and I waited two more seconds. I'm like, any time now, they're going to, here comes the bump back music. I must have waited probably what felt like 10 seconds, which in radio is an eternity.
Yeah.
And then I figured out I probably should just start
talking. I'm just going to start going,
So I've been there, buddy.
I don't know. We may be doing a show just for the three of us here at our temporary Town Fair Tire studios at NBC Sports in Needham, but. And we'll have a hell of a show just for the three of us.
Damn right. We had a fun conversation before we went on air, so we're good. We don't need an audience.
The conversation we had about our collective golf games was probably, I'm going to say, 1,000 times more interesting than what we're going to get tonight at Gillette Stadium. And I told McCone before we started, I'm going to have to guard against it. I'm going to have to like try and not be a complete negative prick about this. But my gut tells me that tonight's football game at Gillette Stadium is going to be a colossal waste of everyone's time. Is that too harsh, Ted?
I think you're spot on. I believe you do a pre- and post-game show, don't you, for Patriots.com?
So only 2 hours with no commercial breaks.
Yeah, no,
so it's
problem.
Not a lot of time to fill.
Right.
It's really no big deal to sit there and talk for 2 hours about a game where no starters are going to be playing. And even if they are... it's in a meaningless game. You know, forget. No, it's fine. It's fine. We can 2 hours pre and post.
Yeah, we got
no problem.
It's brutal. This is brutal. Let's face it, guys. I mean, hearing that starters weren't going to play today, this morning it was reported. That was a kick in the schnuts because that. Let's face it. The only thing that makes preseason compelling at this point is to see the starters out there, and so. I thought they would get a little bit of run. I guess they are not. And so it makes it even, I think, it's going to be a more painful product to watch. I mean, preseason used to be at least worthwhile, you know, and something I think worthy of your attention to start the season. Right now, the way at least the trend is going in the NFL, and even with the Patriots, it just seems like they put more emphasis on these practice, the practices with these other teams higher than they do these preseason games, which is unfortunate. It really is.
And this is... Again, not to go like.
There we go.
Oh, there we go.
Okay.
That was a test.
Did you? Okay. That. I don't know if you wanted us to restart the show. Welcome in, Zolak and Bertrand, Hardy, Ted Johnson, Tim McCone. No, we've been on the air the whole time. Kelly Anderson let me know that we were actually on. So thank you, Kelly. Not to get into like, you know, back in my day type of stuff, but seriously.
Yeah.
What? This is the type of morning. And believe me, at midnight tonight, when we still haven't wrapped the two-hour post-game show, and I'm thinking about being back here on the air at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, this is where I get into cancel the preseason mode. Just cancel it. Don't do it. Why are they doing it? Yeah, you're going to have to convince me today, Ted, and it's an unfair ask of you maybe, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Convince me that there is some value to what's going to be happening tonight at Gillette Stadium.
Yeah, I'm not so sure there is. And I'll do the best I can, but I'm not so sure.
Not a great start.
It's going to be a good 4 hours.
the only value is basically it's for the owners to make a little bit of money, I think. And that's where it comes in at. So we can talk about that for 4 hours, the owners making more money. But other than that, you're right. There used to be, and this is, and I have a bad feeling this is going to be a lot of back in my day kind of talk, because let's face it, there's a lot of things that are going on with the Patriots I've seen in this training camp where I say to myself and to you and to Tim, and I think I've already said it, the couple times we've been on already, is back in my day, I reference that a lot because of what I'm seeing in training camp this year with the Patriots, the reduced hitting, the schedule, the not playing starters in preseason games is so vastly different than when I played. And I've been out of the game 14 years, but it's amazing to me the change in philosophies, the change in how they do things, just in that period of time is so drastically different. Like I said, the first day that they had padded practice, we'd had probably 12 padded practices before they had their very first padded practice. And so, I think we're going to get into the, kind of just the schedule the last week. It was shocking to me that they didn't go have more, I would say, competitive drills in when they were in pads than they have. And so we're going to get into why they're not playing the starters. And I think I don't think it's a good sign for the Patriots, but it is. It's going to be very difficult for me to convince you that it is worth your time and energy to really just do a deep dive on this game tonight and get fully invested in it. Sorry, bud.
Yeah, McCona, I mean, you look at what's plaguing this team right now, and it's starting offense, at least through what we can glean from watching camp. And Bill tried to convince us earlier this week, you see good plays, there's actually a lot of stuff that goes wrong. And on a bad play, there's, one or two.
Are you surprised? Are you amazed at how he does that? Nothing to see here. We're fine. I know we hit this iceberg, but we're going to be fine. We got plenty of time to get everybody off the boat and safely to shore.
It was pretty typical, and I don't get upset by it anymore, but it's like, you all of you, as standing around here, all you people, it was like, you're all so stupid.
I loved your reaction. I was watching it live, and I was like, Hardy, thank you. Because when I was watching that, it was so obvious. Idiots,
yeah,
dummies, you don't know what you're talking about.
You think because Mac Jones is scrambling up past the line of scrimmage and diving headfirst in the middle of the field that there's things going wrong? No, there's actually a lot that went right on that play, idiots. You don't know. God, I wish I could just hang out with some other football dudes and, have a real conversation instead of talking to idiots like Tommy Curran and Mike Reese and Karen Garigian, you dummies. Like, we see what's happening.
Yeah.
And I understand there is some truth to what he's saying. Very rarely in a play do all 11 guys blow it. But don't try and tell me that there's something good that you can take out of some of the stuff. It's about the end result. It's about the overall. It's a results-based business. And right now, what is really lacking in results is offense. And whether it's the scheme, whether it's the coaching, whether it's a combination of both, and both sides ill-equipped to implement this new thing, that's what needs work. So now to lead off on what would normally be a total, just layup of a show, what are you looking for tonight? I don't know. Because if starting players on offense are not going to play, what are we looking for tonight? I don't know. I don't know what to keep my peepers peeled for tonight. Tell me the starters aren't going to play? The starters, why? Because they're so good? Oh, no, it's a train wreck. It's an absolute, no, it's a terrible.
It's a disaster.
It's a disaster going on. So what are you going to do in the first preseason game? Literally nothing. They're not going to play. Okay. Should we still have the game? Is it too late to cancel it?
Okay. So here we go. Let me interject right here because we're not going to get a lot gleaned from clearly the starters and Mac Jones particularly. But if we're going to get to see, I don't know. I'm curious to see what some of the rookies can do. Tyquan Thornton. I'd like to see, people are raving about him. When I was out there at camp, he looked actually really good. I'd like to see what this Marcus Jones, what he can do at punt return, There's some rookies that I'm actually quite interested in. I want to see what Malcolm.
I'm writing down punt return.
It's I know it doesn't blow your skirt up, but
no,
it's,
no,
it,
no, no, no.
There are things to look
hopefully
at.
Hopefully, the Patriots can force a punt tonight.
right.
So that'd
we have some young linebackers. I'm curious to see this front seven. I mean, that's been dominating practice. Do they continue their dominance? If they're not going to play the starters, okay, but. Look, there's a lot of guys that are going to be playing that they're going to be called on to have for depth roles and rookies that we haven't maybe seen a whole lot of that are going to get their chance. So there are things to watch for in this game, although it might not be, you know, the most exciting thing.
I'm just one of these idiots that Bill was addressing the other day at camp. It's like here I think things aren't going well for the offense. Turns out I'm a moron. What do I know?
Do you know what's it's hard for? You know what gives Bill probably the red ass more than anything, though, you guys? And if you think about all the information we have now, the information at our fingertips, the knowledge that we have, we're so much smarter watching football than we've ever been, right? I mean, there's we look at the offense and we can make predictions and I don't know if it's fantasy football. It's just brought more people to the game where people understand it. Concepts are examined more. People want to know the philosophies and how the inner workings are more now than ever. So there's more information, data, and information out there for us to get our hands on. We can see the all 22 now, like we couldn't just a few years ago. So we're more informed when we're watching these games, and so we're asking questions to Bill that it probably just great to him because he used to always be able to say be the smartest guy in the room, and he still is. Don't get me wrong,
of course.
But we're all so much more smarter now. Media members, fans watching the game, for him to talk down that much, it's a little bit comical because. You know, a lot of people know what they're talking about because the information is more readily available now more than it's ever been.
I feel like I'm reaching expert level status based on the tutorial I got from you last week. What do you want to talk about zone play on the offensive line? You want to talk about mirrored run and pass plays, the tenets of the offense?
Yep.
I got them all, kid. I'm
Love
ready
it,
to go.
Dude. I'm
teachable and coachable, Ted.
That's unbelievable. Mirrored runs, mirrored passes. You got it, brother. I'm going to quiz you a little bit for more on the tenets of the Shanahan offense as we go.
That's the only two I remember, okay. But I just focus in on those, and we'll go over the rest.
You got it.
All right. So how about this? How about this? What are you looking for tonight in this Patriots preseason game? 617-779-0985. Who gets the looky-loo? What's making your cornea hornea tonight? What's going to be popular in your ocular, huh? Oh. So you tell us, because 14 minutes in, I'm at a loss. I don't know, man. 617-779-0985. Hardy, Ted Johnson, Tim McCohen on Zolak and Bertrand here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You guys keep going. I actually, the computer got unplugged here.
Okay, well, we have to keep going anyway, and quite frankly, I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to hear when it was time to come back and tell you about Squeezed. So I guess you want me to talk about Squeezed, or you want us to keep going here for a moment? It's up to you.
Yeah, do Squeezed.
Okay. Well, hey, it's Hardy.
Seamless. It's a perfect transition.
Seamless. Hi, my name is Rob Hardypool. Let me tell you about Squeezed.com. Best juice cleanse on the market. It really is good. I tell you what, if you want to jumpstart a healthy eating habit, it's tough just to stop eating all the crap that you eat on a daily basis. And even when we're eating, we think healthy, there's some stuff in there that it's really not doing you any good. But all the stuff in the juice that you get from Squeeze.com is very good for you. It really is. The ingredients, the recipes, all that stuff. So you go to Squeeze.com, you order that up, and you'll have it on your doorstep by 9 p.m. if you order by 1 p.m. Order by one, have it on your doorstep by 9, same day, promo code radio for 25% off when you go to squeezed.com. And it looks like we're going to continue talking about something else. Wow.
Oh, perfect. We're
still frozen back there, T-Bone. Okay.
Yeah, the monitor to go to commercials just went out.
No, it's just no panic here.
Oh, we got this.
Well, let's take a call. Let's talk to Mike. Let's talk to Mike in
Put
Worcester.
Put my headset back on.
No point in making you wait, Mike. Go ahead.
What's up, Mike?
Hardy and Ted and Tim. What's going on, buddy?
Number 52, one of my favorite linebackers.
Thank you, sir.
And I got to ask a question. Where are the crafts involved in this shit show of...
Can we drop that?
Hopefully the delay is still working back, and nothing else is working back in Dorchester.
We are off and running.
But wow. Hopefully the delay is working, and the stream wins again. Okay.
I've been in the business probably 12 years, yeah. Radio. This is probably the worst start I've ever gotten off to.
How dare you?
Well, I mean, just you know.
I think we had a pretty solid first segment. Technically, it's are you talking technically or content-wise?
Content-wise, it was great.
Okay.
Technically.
All right, technically, we're having some issues. So what? What do you expect more or something different out of ownership right now at a time like this? Because right now, for me, before they've even played preseason game number one, no. And look, we can overreact. We can react day to day. We can have crazy opinions and beliefs based on one training camp session. As owners, do you expect them to be pulling the ripcord or the panic button or anything like that? Should they be doing something differently right now?
No. Gosh, no. But I thought it was interesting. A lot of people, when referencing Kraft and his thoughts on this team, you know, saying that Bill's got a ton of rope. Look, and I'm not so sure. I mean, if you remember at the owners' meeting, I think Robert Kraft said something to the effect where he kind of made a joke about Bill's got an unorthodox way of doing things, or he's trying something that's a little different. Ha ha. Yeah. And it's like Kraft knows this is unorthodox. Kraft knows that this is very different, and he's hearing all of this. All the narrative about it and what people's opinions are about it. And trust me, he hears all of it. So he's probably concerned like the rest of us, but clearly Bill has earned a right to kind of play this thing through and see how it is. He's not going to go down there and say, "Hey, Bill, you need to change the system." Are you kidding me? No, that's not, he will influence Bill, and he will interject in certain things. But when it comes to the schematics, he'll leave that to Bill and who's coaching and the dynamic of the coaching staff. That's all on Bill. But what's interesting to me is it is Bill's kind of philosophies and how he wants to do things is on full display this year. And so he's going to be tested, I think, in a way with the media and the pressure and the spotlight being on him, kind of magnifying his philosophies now more than ever. And so there's a lot of pressure, I think, on Bill this year. And Kraft sees that and knows that.
Well, I think you're right, and we're going to get more into that. We're also going to get into more of the offense and, I guess, some more, ideas in terms of what actually is happening there. But let's talk about that, too. Like, what type of season would there have to be in order for the owners to take a look and say, all right, maybe we need to have a serious talk? 617-779-0985. We're back with more after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Opinionated.
Aquarius is nautical.
And passionate.
Ignorance is bliss.
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jeepers, creepers.
Nice.
Glad you get those peepers. Jeepers, creepers, where'd you get those eyes?
Peepers peeled tonight for punt returns, and what else you say you're going to be looking at tonight?
Just the rookies, and but Marcus Jones in particular on the punt returns. I know that got you all worked up, but
don't tell me about a receiver because it's going to be Zappy throwing to him, and I don't know what you can really learn.
But I'm excited to see Bailey Zappy, a guy who threw for almost 6,000 yards. 62 touchdowns in 1 year at Western Kentucky last year. I kind of want to see what this kid looks like, man. I want to see how how he's built. You know, you see out of the practice, but I like to see him in a regular uniform. So there's things that are still, I think, going to be compelling and interesting for the viewer to see tonight.
All right.
You know, besides the fact that the starters aren't starting, there are still things to watch for in this game.
Jim Kerwin on Twitter says, who will frisk your orbital disc? Who's going to look lovely to your lens? Again, these are all Jones and I came up with a whole list of them.
It was one of the best shows I've ever heard last year. It was last year, and you guys went on this thing, and it was great radio, man.
What will make your pupil pumped? Your retina, Randy? Are you dilated for defense? So there we go.
I love it.
Feel free to keep those coming, too. You can send them to me on Twitter, at Hardy Radio. So let's get back to the phones here. We'll talk more about Mac Jones with Manny right now in Melrose. What's going on, Manny?
Hey, how you doing? I got two things real quick. Ted, Zoe was upset yesterday. You didn't answer his phone call about a question he had for you. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I didn't get any phone calls, just for the record. No phone calls from Zoe. I heard him say that he called me. For the record, I got no phone call from Zoe. So continue, Manny.
Oh, and another thing, is Mac Jones escaping here? Is he the only one doing good? Because nobody's talking about it. Or is he doing bad and nobody's reporting? Or is it just the team's doing bad and Mac Jones doing good? Because I don't hear anything about Mac Jones.
Yeah, man, here's the thing. Well, it's hard to, I think, evaluate Mac Jones right now because with the new system, he's frustrated. And so he's holding the ball. You say he's maybe late with decisions. He's going to the check down a lot. Is that a Mac Jones problem, or is that just, is that a new scheme problem? And I think it's more of the latter than the former. I think Mac Jones, he's going to be a better player than he was last year. It might not show because of the new scheme and new system, and that's probably the most frustrating thing for him, is everything he learned last year is been thrown to the side, so he's got to learn a whole new system, and he's going through growing pains with the entire offense right now. And so he can't play at the level he wants to because there's breakdowns everywhere else.
There was some pushback on what you said last week, Ted, and not on you specifically. But and I think Ted, I think Zoe was calling you, as he said, because I think he wanted some more explanation in terms of what you were seeing, how you can tell what's going on there in terms of the offensive line and them playing in zone and stuff like that. But the other pushback was on whether or not they could, in some way, once they go down this road of the Shanahan offense and what they're working on right now, if it doesn't work for a couple few weeks, say, okay, let's go back to what we were doing. Which you indicated to me last time we were on, it's like, no, once you do this, this is what you're doing.
Correct.
And I heard from a couple of different people saying like, oh no, you could. And I guess just realistically, logically, we're not talking about reinventing the wheel. We're doing something different. I understand the difficulty in it and how you're working on something throughout camp and then just deciding 1 week after a game on Sunday to bring everyone back in on a Monday and start working on something with 3 days prep to do something different the following week. It wouldn't be easy, but not impossible is what I was hearing.
Yeah, no,
or a hybrid of the two,
maybe a hybrid, maybe elements of the old stuff. But I think, again, I've been saying from the very beginning, this isn't something you do a little bit of. You do it all the way, or you don't do it at all. Maybe I guess a hybrid. But look, do you know how I think embarrassing and how bad of a look it would be? I think for the coaching staff, if they were like, guys, 3 weeks in the season, you know what? The playbook, forget it. Here's a new playbook. Because it's not like going from man-to-man, to zone, or from a 3-4 to a 4-3. Those are easy kind of adjustments to make on the fly. This system, it's all new terminology.
Yeah.
It's a whole new way of blocking on the offensive line. 3 weeks into the season, you're going to go, you know what? Let's go back to what we were doing last year. Let's put in all new terminology from last year. We have a lot of new guys. It would be a cluster. And you know how bad that would look? It would look so, like the coaches don't know what the hell they're doing if they decided to change It's not a minor change. It's a massive. And it's not like they've been working on this the last few weeks. They've been doing this all offseason, Hardy. They've been doing this whole new system offseason.
It's not just the last couple of weeks. That's an important point to make. This is something that we can all assume or already know that these guys have been given. Mac Jones has been working on. It's not like they go home and turn it off.
Right.
And it's not like they just started 2 weeks ago.
Correct. And so if you and another thing is to change this, I think it would be alarm bells would go off. Guys would start to. You talk about buy in. Guys would really start. I think you have already set down this road. You have to do it. It's a whole philosophical change that I just think to change it at this point, even.
Yeah.
It would be a really bad look. You gotta just commit to it, and it's not going to look pretty, and it's not going to look good at times. But I think you got to stay committed to this. And how do I know that this is a new system? You know, Zoe was wondering that himself. He wants to see the. Look, I know this system well because I played against the Denver Broncos. The Denver Broncos was excellent at it, one of the best with Elway and Terrell Davis. I know all the kind of things that you're supposed to, how to defend it. So I know it when I see it. And Gary Kubiak was the head coach for the Houston Texans when I was down there for 7 years. And this is the same system he ran. So I know a Shanahan system when I see it in scheme. And so this is what it is. And if you're telling me it's not a new system, that it's the same old system, and they look this bad, yikes.
For that reason alone should tell you there is something remarkably different going on with the scheme.
If it's the same old system with a little bit of tweaks here and there, and they look this bad, oh boy, then we're in big trouble.
Okay, so let's continue talking a little bit about the quarterback position. You actually want to see Zappe tonight. Let me tell you something. When we're talking about the quarterbacks that are going to make this roster, I think it's going to be three. I heard Greg Bedard talking about this a little bit yesterday with Felger and Maz, how, you're going to need three. Normally, the Pats would have four in camp, but, you know, the three guys that are left, three guys that were here, we're probably going to see a lot of Zappe tonight. And I've watched him in training camp. He doesn't suck. You know, there are some times when he looks like, you know, a rookie, but relatively high pick for the Patriots to use on this guy in this position. We're going to get a chance to see him tonight, but really it's more about Mac Jones. We'll continue talking about that next after Tim McCone's Hub Headlines here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Here are Zolak and Bertrand.
Where else does that happen?
98.5, The Sports Hub.
I was just looking back at last year's kind of practice schedule for the first few days of padded practice. It seems like they were more intense, more physical at that point than this year. I'm sure you're going to get to it, but why the tweak and how are you guys approaching this early portion of camp?
You know, we're approaching our practices the best way that we can. I think that we've... the ramp-up period was the ramp-up period, and I think we've been in pads more days than we had last year at this time. I'll have to go back and double-check it, but I think so. And prior to the first game? Well, we'll see. Yeah, all right.
Well, Sunday was like...
Well, that'll be fine, but anyway.
Sunday was like a very active practice last year.
Yeah, I'd say the big thing would be, this year, working with our strength conditioning staff, I feel like our team is as healthy as it's ever been at this time of year. Part of that, I think, has a lot to do with the off-season program and the way the guys have worked, and maybe part of it has to do with the way we've practiced, but we really have very little in the way of players missing time.
All right, it's Zolak and Bertrand. It's Hardy, Ted Johnson, Tim McCone.
Bill's setting it up. If the Patriots look bad in tonight's game or to start the season, I'm blaming the sports science guys. Clearly, they are influencing Bill and how he wants to run practices. And I'll be all kidding aside. I'll be honest. You know, a lot of people are like, "Why are you getting worked up about a practice schedule?" Because it's so different. It's so different than anything in Bill's signing. You know, we had more padded practices, you know, last year or this year than we did last year. that is false. I was out at training camp last year. They had way more padded practices than they did at this point. But you know, to cite the lack of injury so far. And hey, it's sports science, our nutrition people. This is,
yeah.
I got to call BS on that. I'm not buying it.
Well, it's tough to buy into a lot of this stuff when you see it happening, and there are just some common sense things that tell you things don't look the same. And it's not just Brady being gone. You know, there are just. There's differences down there, and you don't even have to look. I'm not going to pretend to have a great eye for what's working and not working when it comes to offensive line play, but I can tell that the guy back there calling the plays is a different guy, and I've been told that he's also responsible for the offensive line. So to me, it's kind of like a common reaction to look at the coaching and say, well, maybe, you know, maybe this is a big part of the issue here. You've got someone down there calling plays and essentially running this offense, and it's this tandem, you know, thing between Bill and Judge and Patricia, and, you know, they're all got a hand in it. And if you have that many bosses,
yep.
it's kind of like the old adage about quarterbacks. If you have two quarterbacks, you have none. Well, if you have three offensive coordinators, does that mean you don't have one? And they don't have one. They don't have an offensive coordinator. And the guy who's maybe the closest thing to it is the guy responsible for the offensive line, which, according to reports,
yep, is the
and
main
according
problem.
To guys who know what they're looking at, like you, Ted, is a big part of the problem.
Yeah, it's the main problem. And I'm sorry, this storyline has to be a little bit old and tiresome to a lot of people. And I can hear it in your voice a little bit, Hardy. He's like, we got to talk about this again. And good luck. Have fun. I mean, you're gonna be talking about it a lot again tonight. It is the storyline of the offseason, and it's going to be. And to start the season, until we see an offense that looks like it knows what the hell it's doing. And this was clearly – the offense was supposed to be the biggest strength of this football team. And
yeah.
I'd be going – I thought the offensive line was going to be – better than what people thought. I had no problem with the skill positions. I know they don't have a number one, okay, but I like having a lot of number twos and threes. And you know, even though Jonnu Smith didn't underperform last year, he's being more emphasized this year with Hunter Henry. I just think, okay, the tight ends are pretty good. I think they have one of the best running back groups maybe in the NFL. So having said all that, when you see what's going on out there the last 2 weeks, you're like, oh my gosh. And even with the offense, kind of what picking up where they left off last year with these new additions, I thought it was going to be very difficult for the Patriots to even get, you know, 9-10 wins at the most. Now you see what the offense is doing, and it's hard not to be a little bit, I think, nervous and unsure of how this season's going to start and how it's going to look.
Do you put any – I mean, it, as long as we're, like, spreading the blame around, is it fair to put some of it on Mac? I mean, they didn't ask him to start playing rugby in the middle of the season. You know, they asked him to change up, you know, the offense and what he had been learning last year and to do something differently. How much do you put on him for so far, but trying to ignore the issues with the offensive line and the guys he's playing with? He's not in a vacuum, but him not being better so far with this new scheme.
I don't put much on him at all. It's just that what they're asking him to do is so much for a second year player that, you know, he's still trying to figure out this NFL thing, and to be a leader and to be the, you know, kind of the face of this team and to go there with a good attitude every single day and to raise the spirits of his wide receivers and his offensive line and to get them to, it's not his fault that, you know, Cole Strange is getting his ass kicked in one-on-ones, or you know that the right tackle is missing blocks on blitz pickup, or that the center is can't, you know, cut off the backside pursuit from the defense. That's not his fault. And to imply that is, I think is ridiculous. I think he is being asked to do so much, too much, I think. And so this new offense, the problems that's going on with it right now, none of the issues to me fall on Mac Jones' shoulders, Hardy.
Okay. So we think based on what we've seen so far, before even one snap of the preseason and anything, any meaningful game has been played, we think the Patriots have, you know, some issues. We know the Red Sox have issues, so let's give them a few minutes here.
You bet. Let's do it.
Talk about, you know, this quick two-game set with the Braves, what's coming up. Chris Sale, touch on all of it quickly here right after we take a quick break here and then continue here. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Opinionated.
I do like crushed haddock.
And passionate.
I took a piece of haddock one time and I ran over with a tire.
More headlines in 30 minutes.
Like a haddock pancake.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Couldn't make this up, right? We need to dispatch some people to go find whoever has a Chris Sale voodoo doll and recover it. It's just, you know, it stinks. It's really unfortunate. I mean, we're relieved this wasn't worse. Obviously, you know, it was a pretty rough spill, and very glad that you know, this wasn't worse, but it's been such a run of bad luck for him and obviously for us.
Red Sox struggling after a 8-4 loss last night. Fenway Park. They drop both games of the quick two-game set there with the Braves. Couple that with the 3-4 that they dropped in Kansas City to the Royals over the weekend. So, yeah, things are precarious right now at Fenway Park.
Who was it that came in relief for
really? You're going to ask me? Go ahead.
Yeah. Was it Darwin? Yeah. Darwin. Was it, what's his name?
Darwin Hernandez.
Thank you.
In for Pivetta last night.
Pivetta, for Nick. Okay. Nick gave up the 3-run jack in the fourth. And when he came in, I didn't realize. I read somewhere that his ERA. Did you see what his – what's the highest ERA ever recorded? But his ERA, I've never seen an ERA.
Yeah, 21.6 is where he sits.
Oh, okay. It was 22.5, I think, when he went into the game. So it's gone down.
Yeah, there you go.
He gave up two runs in an inning and lowered his ERA.
I couldn't believe that ERA. So he's chipping away at it. So it's at 21 and 0.2 right now.
Apparently, Brazzers came in to save the day and allowed two runs in 2/3 of an inning. So, all right. Do we have audio, T-Bone, of what Beatles said? And again, we haven't talked a whole lot of Red Sox this week, but it was essentially Beatle joining the chorus of voices calling for the job of Chaim Bloom. And I don't think this is new for Beatle. I don't keep a notebook with you know, a timeline of his takes when it comes to all matters. But I don't think this is the first time that he has questioned whether or not Chaim Bloom is the right man for the job anymore.
Yeah, well, I feel like I've heard him be pretty critical, but part of me is, isn't there a part of you that's curious to see, I don't know, this thing play out a little bit more with Chaim? I mean, it's kind of, I don't know, this is going into his, fourth year? You know, the 2020 was maybe a throwaway year. He got, you know, the team went, you know, almost to the World Series last year. He's kind of like, I don't know, part of me wants to kind of see it play out, but... Then the reports are that there's confusion. A lot of people in baseball are kind of looking at the way he's assembling this team and thinking it doesn't make any sense how he's doing it, and so that is a little bit worrisome. But I feel like at the trade deadline, I wanted to see him just sell. Like, that's what you really want to do in your heart of hearts, and go all in on that. He didn't do that. He kind of middled it, and so right now nobody's really sure what the hell he's thinking. So. I think it's still too early to be calling for Chaim Bloom to be fired, but let's face it. I think it's a little bit worrisome For sure.
I think it is too. And McCone, I don't know, you know, how much you've been, you know, following the Red Sox. It's a tough year to be watching this team, quite frankly. And with some of the decisions that they've made, either with regard to trading away their starting catcher and bringing guys in, seemingly, you know, by some accounts, making moves just to make moves. But the direction is difficult to comprehend. Heim seems to seem like, you know, there is a plan in place and they have it going. But you got to wonder at this point, okay, is his idea and his overall philosophy for the team going to be one that leads to winning? Forget about this year. I don't care where they are in the wild. That's out the question. But Beto brought up this point too. You know, they're essentially a 500 baseball team. They've dipped a few below now at this point, but they're not god awful.
Right.
They're still on pace for over 80 wins. And you know, like, is it time for the wholesale change at that level? Because that means wholesale change. If you change that guy, there are going to be wholesale changes.
For sure. And look, obviously this is a disappointing year coming off an ALCS run, but my biggest thing too, like you kind of touched on, is as long as you can kind of see what the blueprint is and what you're kind of working towards as an organization and what the philosophy is going to be moving forward, then you don't necessarily have a problem with it if this is kind of a one-off thing. But when you have a trade deadline like they just had where, you kind of middle it, where you give up on your starting catcher and you ship him out of town, but then you ultimately end up kind of buying at the deadline too, and now you've got these free agents coming up at the end of the year with J.D. Martinez, Xander Bogaerts, Nathan Eovaldi coming off the books. Like, how are you going to ultimately replace those guys? And I guess my biggest thing is too, like, it's easy to say that, like, we want to create a farm system here that's kind of self-sustaining and everything like that. And you can do that and feel good about it, and ownership can feel good about it when you're winning at a high level like you did last year. When you start losing games at the big league level, and in Boston, we've seen that this ownership group, not exactly the most patient group when it comes to losing in Boston. So, like, Ben Sherrington wins a World Series in 2013. He didn't even finish 2015, right? So, like, when it goes off the rails a little bit here, you don't have a ton of leash usually as the GM and kind of overseeing the operation. So if I was Heim Bloom, I'd start to get a little concerned here about my future moving forward.
You can't really middle it. I was in Houston for 8 years, and you watch that team. There, you know, the Astros won the World Series in 2017, partly because I think they were, you know, had some help. They were maybe the cheating allegations.
Yeah, some buzzers and stuff.
But
yeah.
It didn't hurt them. They had great players, you know, and you know how they got those great players? They sucked forever. I think the 4 years preceding that World Championship, I think they had four seasons of 100 game losing seasons.
Yeah.
But Altuve came up through the farm system because they suck so bad. George Springer, Alex Bregman, Carlos Correa, all these great players, they were all homegrown because they tanked and they were awful for literally 4 years. And now look at them. But people don't want to go through that, right?
Well,
and I'm not saying that's a guarantee that you're going to come out the other end like their Astros did. But to middle it like you're doing, I don't think it's the right answer.
And look, that's a hard decision to say, like, hey, we're going to tear this thing down and we're going to sell off all these big names that won a lot of games. That's not an easy sell. And it feels like Heim Bloom's kind of taking a page out of my book, where you just kick any big decision down the road for as long as you possibly can. And if you're in charge of a baseball team, that's not the best way to go about it, right? Like, it feels like he's just kind of delaying some of these really big decisions until ultimately he has to pull the trigger. And, again, that's not the best way to go about it.
And if we think it's bad now, oh my God. Like, well, look at next year.
Yeah.
What is – I mean, Vivaldi's gone.
Right, so how are you going to fill those?
JD Martinez is gone.
Exactly, 100%.
Oh, my goodness. So if you ain't seen nothing yet, baby.
Chris Sale is most likely going to suffer some horrible cornhole accident after he fell off his bicycle.
You're not penciling him in for 35 starts next year? No.
I am not.
Unbelievable.
And Milliken's point on this earlier in the week, Milliken, I don't know if you're busy in it because I don't want to misstate what you said, but maybe among the most egregious of the offenses that the Red Sox made this year was the wasting of a year with luxury tax implications and how that factors into the, you know, the long term model that the Red Sox and a lot of ball clubs, you know, kind of, you know, work with.
Yeah. And I think me and McCone talked a little bit about this on Friday, but these 2 years, like, you gear up when you go over the luxury tax, you're supposed to push all those different chips in. As we saw with the Dodgers and Mookie Betts,
The reason they gave him that mega contract was because they expected starting in 2020 to go over. They lucked out. David Price opted out because of COVID. They didn't go over the tax that year. 2021 and 2022, they push all their chips in. The Yankees last year got under that luxury tax. What have they done this year? They pushed all those chips in. The Padres this year with Juan Soto. These are supposed to be the years where you pour it all in. But just like when you signed Trevor Story back in March and you went over the luxury tax, you didn't push far beyond it and you left multiple huge holes on your team. There it feels like when they went over the luxury tax, there was never a plan that it was going to go out that way. And when they did, they still weren't sure. They wanted to wait until the trade deadline. Okay, wait till the trade deadline. But then you doubled down on it at the trade deadline when I think anybody watching this team, and as I said when Chris Sale went down, that was it for me for them this year. I thought that was the nail in their coffin ultimately, because look what you're watching right now and what you have left in this starting rotation. You don't have enough there. In the bullpen, yeah, you would have had Tanner Houck, Schreiber, and Whitlock. Three arms. Still not enough to get you by. You lose one. You have the worst pitching staff in all of baseball going back to July 1st. And you did nothing to help them, especially when Chaim Bloom told you at the beginning of July, hey, we need to target relief help. You didn't do anything for them. So this is a competitive year where you just hurt yourself. You still haven't wanted to step all the way in and fully commit. And you have a very mediocre baseball team that's trending downwards.
I have one more question for you, Milliken. Yeah. On the other side, with something that maybe you're looking forward to Sunday night at
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.